To everybody. While you're standing, why don't you continue to stand and open up your Bibles to the book of Genesis, the third chapter. Book of Genesis, the third chapter, and also the book of Romans, the fifth chapter, the 19th verse. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation version of Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 through 11. It reads, "The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious. Mm-hmm. And she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God in the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' And he replied, 'I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked.' God said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?'" Romans 5 and 19 reads, "Because one person obeyed God, many became sinners. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just thank you this morning for what you're about to do. And now, Lord, we come praying to you, asking you first of all, oh God, to forgive us for all of our sins.
Thank you, Lord God.
Asking, oh God, that you would do something, Lord, now that only you can do. Prepare me, oh God, to preach your word to your people. But Lord, I'm not the only one that needs to be prepared. Prepare your congregation, oh God. Open up their ears and open up their hearts, oh God, so that they may receive your word.
Yes, Lord.
So that they may receive it, oh God, deep within their spirit and within their soul, oh God. So that when they leave here, oh God, that their walk with you will be a little bit closer than it was when they first came. Oh, Lord, we just thank you right now for your word. We thank you for being such an awesome God. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Now, Lord, we just ask right now that you would pour off into me, oh God, and that you would speak to me, through me, and for me, oh God, so that your people may receive, oh God, what it is that you want them to have on this morning. In your son Jesus' name, I pray and ask it all. Thank God and amen. You may be seated. If you would allow me this morning, I would like to use the topic, "Go and Sin No More."
All right.
On Wednesday night in Bible class, the pastor was teaching us about having the assurance of your salvation. And at the end of class, he reminded us that in the midst of having that assurance, in the midst of being confident in who you are in Christ, don't get caught up in your sins. Because he said someone is always watching. So now that you are saved, now that you are confident who you are in Christ, do you ever sit around and just wonder, you know, what's next? You know, throughout life when you observe other people who have said that they are Christians, who have said that they have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, when you observe their walk in Christ, you notice that their walk is different from yours. You notice that there are some things that they can say no to that you find yourself saying yes to. You find that when trouble is on the left side, that those people can decide to go to the right side. But you find yourself being drawn to the left side. You've also observed, and you may be one of those people who accepted Christ as your Savior maybe within the past couple of years, maybe the last year, maybe the last 6 months. But you noticed that your walk with Christ and your relationship with Christ have become a little bit distant. And so this morning we want to talk about a three-letter word that we're all familiar with. And that word is sin. When you ask people what is sin, you get a number of different answers.
All right.
Some will say, well, it's the transgression against God's word. Some will say, well, it's rebellion against God. And then you got some people who will put it in just one word. It's just plain old disobedience.
All right.
When you study the book of Genesis, you'll see that God had a close relationship with the first family, Adam and Eve, until sin was committed. And as God was working with me on this sermon, he brought to mind, I could see sin kind of being like a sharp knife. You know, with a sharp knife, you don't have to bear down real heavy when you're cutting with it to cause a separation.
All right.
With a sharp knife, sometimes it can just tap you just a little bit, and your skin will split.
Right.
It'll cause a separation.
Yeah.
So sin is kind of like a sharp knife. If you come in contact with it in the least form, it'll cause a separation. And so now we got Adam and Eve. They have a decision that they're going to have to make. Because God told them that he said, you can eat freely from any tree in the garden. He said, but there is one tree, the tree of knowledge, that I don't want you to eat from. And so they had a choice that they had to make. And when you read the story, you will find that they chose to reject the tree of life. And they chose to receive nourishment from the tree of knowledge.
Uh-huh.
And when I look at the decision that they made, I can see this right here. And if they had chose the tree of life, like God had commanded them to, I can see their lives being different. I can see them saying, in essence, Lord, we trust you. And we're going to allow you to lead and guide and direct our lives. But because they chose the tree of knowledge, I can see them saying something totally different. I can see them saying, you know what, we're going to do this thing on our own. We're going to try to do it within our own strength. We're going to build on our own lives. And because Adam and Eve made that decision, they passed that down all the way to us. How many times when you was growing up did you say, I can't wait till I get grown. I'm going to do what I want to do. How many times when parents and aunts and uncles and people that love you tried to give you some instructions, and you said, I'm going to do what I want to do. They can't tell me nothing. That's what Adam and Eve did when God gave them a commandment. And they chose to eat from the tree of knowledge. When you study how God worked with his people even from the beginning, you'll see time and time again God gave them commandments on how he wanted them to live. And when they followed God's commandments, they were prosperous. They were blessed. And they were protected, just like that off. They was protected from the enemy.
All right.
But when they would allow sin to come in just a little bit, when sin would come into the relationship, you would see that things would change for them, and then they would become captive to the enemy.
That's right.
It seems that man is never completely satisfied with just worshiping and following God. It seems that we got a problem being submissive to God. We got in our mind that we want to run things. We got in our mind that we want to be in control of things. We have it in our mind that we want to worship things other than God. We have it in our mind that it's all about us and the things of this world. But you know, for the Christian, sin can be a little tricky. You don't get just sin when you are assured of your salvation.
All right.
You don't get your sin. Sin comes with baggage for
right.
you. Because now that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior,
all right.
now you're trying to live in the world and you're trying to live in the church. You're trying to do something that the Bible has told you that you can't do. The Bible has instructed you that you cannot serve two masters.
All right.
You're going to hate one and love the other. And so it becomes baggage to us and it weighs us down. And when you're weighted down, you begin to deal with guilt. And guilt have led people to a lot of bad places.
Amen.
Guilt have causes people to become depressed. Guilt has led people even as far as to the point to where they will even take their own lives.
Amen.
And also, sin can be tricky. It can be tricky because it can be voluntary and it can be involuntary.
Yeah, right.
You know, we got some sins that we plan out from A to Z. We know we're going to do it. We know when we're going to do it. We know who we're going to do it with. But that's voluntary. But then you got some involuntary sin. You got some things that happen before you know it. You got that person who walks through the door that you hadn't saw in I don't know how many years, and all those bad thoughts, mean and ugly thoughts, began to go through your mind. That's sin. You got people who would come and tell you things, and then you'll go and you'll tell somebody else. And then you find out a couple of weeks ago, after that what they told you wasn't true. Mm. So not only have you gossiped, but you have lied. Oh. Involuntary. You didn't mean to do it. It just happened. But what God wants us to know this morning is that whether sin is voluntary or whether it's involuntary, it has consequences. And so God has given me kind of a different type of delivery this morning. And so I just want you all to just pay attention and just go along with me. I ain't crazy. Just go along with me. I think that by the end of it, you'll get something out of it.
All right.
This time of year, everybody's talking about going on vacation. Or if you're not going, you're talking about you want to go. So this morning, I'm going to take you on an imaginary trip. We're going to go on a spiritual trip this morning in our minds on vacation. And we're going to go to the river of Jordan. Okay? And a lot of people are probably going to want to go. And so we don't have that much room. And so you can go, but you can only take one thing. And that one thing that I want you to take this morning is your most awful sin. Think about it. You know what sin it is. The sin that you can't seem to shake. The sin that's been with you so long it thinks that it owns you. The sin that although you know it's wrong, you become comfortable with it, so you just allow it to hang around. I'm not talking about the sins of the person that's next to you. They can take their own. I want you to take your most awful sin. And I want you to give that sin a name. Think about it. And if you need some help, look at Mark chapter 7. He'll help you out with it. Give your sin a name. I don't care if it's worry, stealing, murder, unfaithfulness, greed, meanness, deceitfulness, molester, envy, prideful, evil thinker, gossip. It's a whole bunch of them. So just give your sin a name. And we're going to go on vacation. So we're traveling along now. And now we have arrived in buses at the River of Jordan. And we are just amazed at the number of people that are there. It is just total chaos because you are not the only one that have figured out that you can't do it on your own. And so now we got a whole lot of people that are there because the word has gotten out that you can go on vacation to the River of Jordan and be forgiven for sin. And so somebody gets the idea that, okay, what we're going to do, we need everybody to form up in two lines. And we got a table here, and we're going to put some post-it notes on it and an ink pen. And what you're going to do, you're going to come through the line, and you're going to write down your name and your one sin, and then you're going to stick it on your chest. Okay, so the line begins to move. You all continue to travel with me. The line begins to move. I get there. I write my name down, Cynthia Worry. I stick it on my chest. Now, while I was in line, I met some people, and we began to talk. And so I was talking to her, and I hoped there's nobody. I tried to pick names that there was nobody in here because I didn't want somebody to think that I was picking on them. But I came in contact with Harry, and Harry told me that for years he'd been stealing from his boss and that his sin is embezzlement. And so when he gets in line, he writes down Harry, embezzler, and he's sticking on his chest. He gets in line. So then Mary, she comes up there. I've been talking to her too. Mary was telling me how she can't hardly get her job done at work for hanging around in the break room because she just loves some gossip. And she said in the break room is where everybody tells everybody's business. And so she found herself just going there all the time. So she writes down Mary and she writes down gossip. So then here comes Bob. Bob told me when he was in line, he said, I'm just a people person. He said, I love to make everybody happy. He said, people love a lie. He said, you tell them the truth, and they ain't interested in talking to you no more. He said, but if you tell them a lie, he said, they'll talk to you all day long. And so he writes down Bob, and then he writes down liar. He sticks it on his chest. And so now it's your turn to come through the line. And so you need to get your post-it note in your mind. And you need to write down your name. And you need to write down your sin. Stick it on your chest and get in line. So now the coordinator of all of this stands up and he says, now, before anybody goes into the river of Jordan, he said, there is something that God wants you to know. He said, God wants you to look at that sin that you have written on your chest. And he wants you to know that that is your sin by choice. He wants you to know that you made that decision, or you make that decision to keep that sin. And he wants you to know that now that we are about to go into the river of Jordan to be forgiven, that forgiveness, just like sin, is also a choice. He wants you to know that God takes his forgiveness seriously. And he don't want you to take it lightly. And so as you're standing here in line, he said, you're going to have to decide if you're really serious about this thing. Because if you're planning on going into the river and getting rid of your sin, but then when you get back to the OC on your bus, if you plan to go back and do those same sins, he said, you might as well get out of line right now. Because God is not playing when it comes to this thing.
Man.
He said, if you choose to keep your sin, he said, God wants you to know that it's going to cost you something.
Mm.
Now, the cost may be minor, the cost may be major, the cost may be slight. We don't know what the cost may be, but it's going to cost you something.
All right.
He said, a cost may affect your body in some type of disease, sickness, or affliction. The cost may affect your mind. It may attack you to where you're dealing with fear, shame, anger, stress, or depression. He said, the cost, he said, sin will affect any relationship that you have. If you keep a hold to sin, it will affect your relationship with God. It will affect your relationship with the people that you love. And it will even affect your relationship with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
He said, when you choose to hold on to sin, it can cause any relationship that you have to be false, fake, or even non-existent. He said, no matter what type of relationship you try to develop, you're going to find disorder and lack of harmony.
Mm.
Why? Because of sin. He said, if you choose to hold on to sin, because see, now you are a Christian and you're assured of your salvation.
All right.
And so now it's not as easy to hold on to sin like it was All when right. you was out in the world.
Man.
He said, you're going to find yourself unhappy. And when you're unhappy, you can't make anybody around you happy. He said, you know, you're going to try to go to church. He said, but you ain't going to be able to worship. Because of sin, you're going to feel out of place. You may find yourself trying to get married, but you're going to find yourself in a dysfunctional family. Why? Because of sin.
Yeah.
Because sin will not allow you to love in a healthy and constructive way.
Amen.
And you know, even when you look out in the world, I was looking at TV the other night on Lifetime, and it was showing a lot of different shows that was based on true stories about children and women that have been abducted. And it was really sad to see how Elizabeth Smart, Jay-Z Duhart, and all the other ones, how these people got them and how they treated them once they got them. It just goes to show you how people out in the world, how sometimes their minds is just so messed up, all because of sin. And when we have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we have come out of that form of thinking. We don't have to be captive to that form of thinking because we have a way out. So let me go on with the story. It said, because you choose to hang around sin, or because you choose to keep sin, it causes you to have a lack of respect. You don't respect people in what you say, and you don't respect people in how you act. Sin causes you to be selfish, because it's all about you. It's all about pleasing you. It's all about what you want. And then sin, it don't only affect personal relationships. It affects a others. It affects other things. It affects our natural resources.
Uh-huh.
When you go back and you read the book of Leviticus, you'll see that God gave the people instructions or commands on how to live their lives. But he didn't only give them instructions on how to live. He also gave them instructions on how to treat the land. He told them, he said, for 6 years, you can plant your crops, you can harvest your fields, and you can prune your vineyards.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but on the seventh year, you're not supposed to do anything to the land. He said, just let the land rest and grow. Let whatever grows, grow.
Yeah.
And because the people disobeyed and did not allow the land to rest for 70 Sabbaths, they had to stay in captivity for 70 years under the Babylonians.
Mm.
So God is serious about disobedience.
Uh-huh.
And when I was looking at that, and I see how when you see it, it don't just affect you. It affects other people. And I was thinking about what the pastor said the other day when he said, you know, I work on my job as if I'm working for Jesus. How many of us work on our job as if we're working for Jesus? Or do we find ourselves on our jobs complaining? If people worked on their jobs as if they was working for Jesus, can you imagine all the things that wouldn't happen to our food?
Mm.
Because they have rules and regulations and policies and procedures in place where they're supposed to clean, process, and preserve our food.
Uh-huh.
If people don't follow those instructions how they're supposed to, then we end up with things like recalls. Recalls on baby food.
Yep.
Recalls on fruits and vegetables and meat and even soup.
Uh-huh.
Recalls on things because somebody was disobedient, because somebody sinned, because somebody didn't go by the rules and regulations.
Right.
And when they don't go by the rules and regulations, things like E. coli, different types of bacteria gets into the food. Then we consume the food. And when we consume the food, then some of us die. It may be an innocent child. It may be a mother, father, sister, brother, elderly. It doesn't matter because the person that suffers from another person's sin had nothing to do with it. And so when you sin, you may think that it's only affecting you. But sin has a way of affecting somebody else down the line. And so it's not just about you. And so I need you to stay focused because you're standing in line and you're trying to decide if you want to go into the river of Jordan or not.
All right.
There's something else that God wants you to know. That there are not only consequences if you choose to stick with sin, but there are also consequences if you choose to give it up. He said if you choose to do the right thing, if you choose to be forgiven for your sins, then it places you in good standing with God. And then when you're in good standing with God, then you receive God's blessings.
Mm-hmm.
When you choose the right thing, it places you in good standing with yourself.
Yeah.
It places you in good standing
uh-huh.
with family, friends, and loved ones.
All
it
right.
places you in good standing with everybody.
Yes.
And so now, the question is, do you give up the sin? Are you ready to go into the Jordan? Or are you going to hold on to it?
Mm-hmm.
It's time to make a decision. But hold up, here come another bus. So now we got to wait on this person. We got one person getting off the bus. And he's proceeding towards the group of people.
Yeah.
And wow, he has the audacity to walk past the table. And he didn't write his stuff down on a post-it note like the rest of us had to do.
Yeah.
So it's almost as if he had no sin. So as he began to approach the people, we see where he began to take the post-it notes off of our chest. And he put the post-it notes on his chest.
Yeah.
Yeah. He put the post-it notes on his chest. He proceeds to the river of Jordan. And when he walks into the water, the words on the post-it notes wash away.
Yeah.
That sounds good, but it's just a story. Snap out of it. You're no longer at the River of Jordan. You're back here now at the OC.
Yeah.
You see, that was a story or an analogy that God gave me so that it would help you to get a visual concept of how easy it is to be forgiven for your sins. How easy it is, and we don't have to hold on to the things that we hold on to because of what Jesus has done for us. You see, because it was my story, it had some flaws in it. You see, because in my story, I told you to pick your most awful sin. But Jesus died not for just one sin. Jesus died for all of your sins. And so you don't have to pick and choose when it comes to being forgiven for sin in the real world. All you have to do is be sincere when you go to God and ask for forgiveness. Another thing in my story, you had to travel to the River of Jordan. But in the real world, the where you are now, you can ask for forgiveness for sins right here, right now. You can ask for forgiveness for sins at your own home. If you ask for forgiveness today and you sin again tomorrow, and you will, you don't have to wait until next Sunday to come back and ask for forgiveness again. You see, sin is something that we have to deal with constantly. Why? Because we're made of this flesh. And this flesh is a selfish thing. This flesh only thinks about itself. But when you got the Holy Spirit living within you, then the Holy Spirit will convict you when you do things wrong. And what Jesus have done, he have died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins so that whatever we do wrong, you see, God don't have a most awful sin. All sin is bad with God. So when you do the least little thing, you can say, Lord, forgive me. But when I say you got to be serious about this forgiveness thing, you can't just say, Lord, forgive me, and know that you're going to do it again when the opportunity presents itself. I know that it's a growing process. We've been taught that. We know that. But it ought to get to a point to where whatever it is that you're doing it, that you're beginning to do it less. Because if it don't get to a point to where you're doing it less, it's almost as if the Holy Spirit can't do his job. And we know that the Holy Spirit is powerful enough to do his job. And so it gets to a point to where you may be doing this thing on a constant basis. But as you begin to pray, and as you begin to make that choice that you're not going to commit this sin, then it ought to get to where it's a little bit less distasteful.
All right.
It ought to get to where you have no longer have enjoyment committing this sin. You know, God has a plan for us. And he had this plan for us even before we was born. When you go into the book of Ephesians, you'll see what Paul was talking to the Ephesians. And he told them, he said, God had a plan to reconcile his people back to him way back, long time ago. He already had things in place knowing that Jesus was going to have to come and die and reconcile us back to him. In Ephesians 1:7, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Talking about Jesus' blood. For the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In other words, Jesus shed his blood for our sins and made forgiveness possible. And then Paul told the Colossians the same thing, but then he went a little bit farther. And he explained to them that because Jesus died for their sins, it freed them from the penalty of death. I'm finished, Tony. You can begin to play. It freed them from the penalty of death. Because our Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. And so that lets me know that even before we were born, we had a death sentence. And so it lets me know even before we was born, we was already destined to die because of our sinful nature. But because Jesus died on the cross, it changed all of that. And no longer do we have to fear that deep sleep that we go through here on this earth that we call death. But we don't have to fear death after this life. Right. We can have life, eternal life, because Jesus died on the cross.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't have to live a sad life here on this earth. I know things don't always happen how we want them to happen, but we got to learn how to change our focus. We got to learn how to focus on the one who has everything in the palm of his hand. We got to learn how to accept the will of God. We got to learn how to do all that we can do. And when we can't do no more, trust God. We got to learn how to be content. We got to learn to know that God has a will for our lives.
Yeah.
And sometimes we get so caught up in what's not happening in this world that it just changes our relationship with God.
Uh-huh.
And that's not what God intended. We always stand on around here, Romans 8:28, uh-huh. which says that all things, it said, first of all, we know. So if you are assured of your faith, you know.
Yes.
You know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are the called according to his purpose.
Yes.
You know this.
Yes.
And so you got to get these scriptures. You got to plant them in your heart. You got to plant them in your mind. You got to plant them in your spirit.
Yes.
And then you got to stand on it.
Yes.
And then when you're standing on it, then you got to live on it.
Yes.
You got to live your life as if you believe every word that God says. And then you got to trust him, regardless of what it looked like.
Yeah.
Because everything is not what it looks like. And so, you know, when the woman who committed adultery, when they brought her to Jesus and he finished talking to her, he said something to her, and I'm about to take my seat. He said something to her at the end. He said, go and sin no more. That's our topic for today.
Yeah.
I don't want to say anything else after that because I want you to remember that when you leave here today. You know, you may have been holding on to some things. You might be living a life that you know that's not pleasing to God because you know what? We know what our sins are. There are some things we may not know, but for the most part, we know what our sins are. And so this morning, God is saying to you, if you accept my forgiveness, if you are sincere in heart, if you say, Lord, forgive me for my sins, I have forgiven you. And then he's saying, go and sin no more.
Amen.
Amen. You know, we always ask the question, is everybody saved that's in the house? You may take your seat. And you know, most people always say that they are. But the question has to be asked every Sunday because you never know. There may be somebody in the congregation who is not saved. And so this morning I'm asking, is everybody in the house saved? Because if you're not saved, this is a perfect opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
Amen.
Because there is nothing that stands between us and God but sin. But you found this morning, you know, you have some people who say, well, when I get it right, then I'll go. When I get my life right, then I'll start going to church. Well, you found out this morning, you can't get it right.
Amen.
And another thing you find out, you don't have to get it right. It's already been made right. It's been made right through Jesus dying on the cross. But all that you have to do, you know, God gave, I said I was finished. God gave Adam and Eve instructions and commandments. But he also gave them the ability to be able to make a choice. And guess what? He gave us the same thing. Sometimes we wonder, why do God allow this? Why do God allow that? God gives everybody a choice. What if he took your choice away from you? You wouldn't be happy. Because it would be like somebody just telling you what to do all the time. And so God is giving you a choice this morning on whether you want to accept him, whether you want him to be a part of your life. And so if you haven't accepted him, I'm asking you to come right now and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you have, if everybody here is saved, and I hope that they are, you know, maybe you need to rededicate. Maybe you have found yourself in a predicament to where your relationship with God is not like it used to be. Maybe there have become some distance between you and God and you didn't know what to do about it. But you found out this morning that it's nothing but sin that stands between you and God. And this morning you want to give it up. You want to come down and you want to say, you know what? I want to rededicate my life to God. And I ask him for forgiveness for my sins. I want God to forgive me and I want him to take me from this point forward. And I want to live a life that's better, a life that's pleasing in God's eyesight. We just don't have to carry, hold on to that stuff. We don't have to. God has paved the way for us. Give him a hand. God has paid the way for us, and it's good. You know, church, the Bible tells us that the strong should bear the infirmities of the weak. These are new people that have joined not too long ago. And when you start out in this Christian walk and you're young and you're new at this, there are a lot of things that you don't understand. Because sometimes we expect things to change overnight, and they don't change overnight. We go out of here and we're faced with some of those same trials and tribulations. But what you got to know is that God can take care of you. You got to spray yourself with the Holy Spirit. That all. And you got to allow God to take care of whatever is trying to come up against you. The strong should bear the infirmity of the weak. So, church, you should be praying for these young people. Not only today, in your prayer life, at nighttime, throughout the day, when you're praying, pray for these young people. And then I encourage everybody, try to find out more about Christ. Try to find out more about the Word of God. Come to Sunday school. Get up in the morning. Give God some of your time. He wakes you up every day. Learn more about His Word. Come to Bible class. Because when you come, then you can learn what it is that you need to do to please Him. And then you might find out it's not as hard as you think. It's easier than you think. If there's anyone here today who does not have a church home, now's the opportunity for you to be undercover if you're not. There's nothing exceptionally special about us. We're just born again believers who love the Lord. We don't try to judge people. We have a good time. We love and support one another. Isn't that all what we're looking for? Everybody wants to be loved. God loves you and so do we. To stand. And while we're praying for these people, I need for you to be praying where you're standing. Because I believe that there's power in numbers. I believe, you know, when you do something on one accord, that God moves. And we should care about our brothers and our sisters. And we should want them to do good. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just thank you right now for the two young ladies that have come forward. Lord, your word went out. It did not return void. Lord, you know what they need. You know what the message was today, oh God. And you know what touched their hearts. You know what convicted them. Lord, we have to believe that they're struggling with some things, oh God, letting some things go. Lord, we have to believe that maybe their relationship with you is not the way that it should be, and they recognize it, oh God. So, Lord, we just ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would have mercy on their souls, oh God, that you would forgive them, oh God, for their sins. We pray, oh God, that you would strengthen them, that when they leave on today, oh God, that they will have a closer relationship with you, oh God, than they had when they came in. Oh Lord, we ask that you, through your word, will reveal things to them, oh God. We ask that you would make yourself known to them. Allow your Holy Spirit to rise up within them, oh God. To let them know that they are never alone. That you would never leave them, oh God, nor will you forsake them. Let them know, oh God, that you are a sincere God. Let them know that you are a prayer answering God. Let them know, oh God, that you are a loving God. Let them know that you are a caring God. Bless them right now, oh God. Lord, I thank you for the strength that they had to come forward. And Lord, I even pray for the ones who may be standing at their seats, oh God, who may be going through the same things, oh God, that they are going through. But Lord, they didn't have the nerve to come. That's okay, oh God, because we're going to pray for them as well. We just ask, oh God, God, that there, if there's anybody in here, oh God, that desires a closer relationship with you, oh God, that you will provide that for them. Lord, lead, guide, and direct them. Show them, oh God, who they need to talk to. Show them, oh God, who they need to, what they need to pray about. Show them, oh God, what they need to understand. Show them, oh God, what they need to change in their lives. Show them, oh God, how they need to change their thinking. Oh Lord, show them who they need to turn to, and that's you. Show them, oh God, that Jesus has died and that he has rose again and that they have eternal life. Oh God, let them know that the devil can't take that away from them. Let them know, oh God, that their salvation is secure. Bless right now, oh God, like only you can. Oh Lord, we just thank you right now for who you are and all that you do. We thank you, Lord, for being such an awesome God. In your son Jesus' name, I pray and ask it all. Thank God and amen.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for what he has given us on today. Amen. Amen. There's no need to say another word.